Track 2. Amy Woolsey, known to her thousands of Instagram followers as Chicks and Veg, shows us round her cottage garden in West Norfolk and tells us about its transformation into a beautiful sanctuary.
I've lived in Norfolk my whole life, says gardener and design researcher Amy Woolsey, and I still don't take it for granted. The coast, the countryside, the villages, it's a very special place to live. Amy shares a cottage on the west side of the county with her husband and their Springer Spaniel, Oliver. By day, she works in design research, a role that grew out of studying graphic communication at Norwich University of the Arts. My days are often quite full and busy, she says. There's a lot of thinking, a lot of screens. The garden is complete opposite of that. It slows everything down. What began as a daunting overgrown plot has become a thriving kitchen garden, chicken run and sanctuary, stitched together with raised beds, a greenhouse and a growing sense of belonging. But when the couple first saw the cottage, the garden was not part of the charm. The garden was full of brambles, rubbish, broken fencing, even bits of broken glass, Amy recalls. It felt completely overwhelming at first, so I began by slowly clearing it, just trying to understand the space and what it could become. At the far end lay a fenced-off rectangle of gravel, cut off from the rest of the plot. I couldn't face moving what was probably tons of it, she laughs. So instead, I looked at it and thought, what can I do with this? It felt like it was asking to be turned into something, so I decided to try creating a small kitchen garden. That decision quietly changed everything. That area became somewhere I was drawn to again and again, she says. It gave me a place to experiment, to be creative, and to spend time outside in a way that felt grounding. Gardening also arrived at a time when life wasn't straightforward. I've experienced loss in my personal life, and gardening has been a way of quieting a busy mind and finding a bit of steadiness when things feel difficult, she says. It's played a big part in why I've kept coming back to it. She can see earlier threads too. I remember making mud pies under the garden swing as a child and having sunflower growing competitions with my sister, she says. My nan worked in greenhouses growing tomatoes at scale. I have a vivid memory of visiting her there, the warmth, the smell of the plants, and the sense of how something could be grown in such abundance. That's always stayed with me. The move to West Norfolk came with her husband's job, and the cottage garden was a shock after a neat new build. This garden felt both daunting and exciting in equal measure, Amy says. It was much bigger than anything we'd had before. That neglected gravel patch at the end kept tugging at her. It felt tucked away, almost like a hidden garden behind a fence, somewhere I could make my own and experiment, she says. Nearby, there was also a small patch of grass, not really big enough for anything, but it felt perfect for chickens. That became one of the first decisions, to fence it off and bring a bit of life back into the garden. Rather than ripping everything out, Amy worked with what she had. I built my first raised beds, directly on top of the gravel using scaffolding boards rather than trying to clear it all, she says. There was an old shed that I painted bright purple just to put my own stamp on the place. Then came a lucky offer from next door. A neighbour was taking down a greenhouse and we carried it across and set it up in the garden, she says. That became the starting point for everything that followed. Ask Amy what she grows and her answer is rooted in everyday life. I grow a real mix, but I tend to come back to a few simple principles, she says. A lot of what I grow is based on what I actually like to eat. If you looked in my salad drawer, you'd find things like spinach, rocket, cucumbers, lettuce and tomatoes. Those are the foundations of my veg patch. More unusual veg often sneaked in, though. I grow slightly more unusual things like kohlrabi and celeriac, which I love cooking with, she explains. And every year I try to grow something that surprises me. I've grown long, twisting squash, like tromboncino, that hangs down from arches. And I grow loofahs, the sponges you use in the shower. Lots of people are surprised to learn you can grow them from seed. From the outset, Amy imagined hens scratching under the shrubs, and now she cannot picture the garden without them. I have 11 chickens at the moment, although the number has fluctuated a little over the years, she says. I started with cream legbars, a lovely breed, that lay eggs with a soft greeny-blue shell. I've just got one of those left now, who is simply called Chicken. The rest are Pekin Bantams, 10 of them, and they are tiny, feathery balls of personality, she laughs. They lay much smaller eggs, but more than make up for it in character. They're curious, cheeky, and always underfoot when I'm in the garden. Her cockerel is named Sir Eggs Benedict, with hens called Jam and Marmalade, Butter, Porridge, Holly and Daisy, Hollandaise, Granny and Nola, Granola, and Florrie, short for Florentine. They're beautiful birds, but definitely mischievous, small in size, but big in personality, she says. The eggs are a joy, but they're not the point. The eggs are wonderful, of course. But I've always seen them as a bonus, Amy says. The real reason I keep chickens is for their company. They bring so much to the garden, so much life to the garden, she continues. They potter around, keep themselves busy, and often keep me busy too when they're up to mischief. They're full of character and surprisingly intelligent. Mine tend to follow me around the garden, usually in hope of treats. Amy and her garden and chicks now have a following on Instagram. 314,000 followers, in fact. But Amy began documenting the garden almost without thinking. I've always been quite a visual person, she explains. I started taking photos of the garden simply to keep track of what was working. The seasons move so quickly, from the depths of winter to the height of summer, and it's easy to forget what you planted where or what did particularly well. Documenting it helped me learn and build confidence year on year. Those images gradually moved onto social media. I've been in this garden for around 10 years, and it's changed a lot over that time, she says. Each year I add something new, move things around, or try a different way of growing. And I like being able to look back and see that progress. It's especially helpful in winter, when everything feels a bit quieter, and you need that reminder of what's to come. She is careful not to let her social media account become a burden. I share it alongside a full-time job, so I try to keep it feeling natural, she says. If it ever starts to feel like something I have to do, I step away, leave my phone inside, and just spend time in the garden. At the same time, she values what it has brought into her life. I've connected with people locally and further afield, swapped seeds, discovered new gardens, and learned a huge amount, she says. It's a very kind and supportive community to be part of. And the chickens always get a lot of attention, she adds, especially videos of them running down the garden after me. Amy says the benefits of gardening reach far beyond homegrown veg. For me, it's the contrast with a busy day job and the sense of slowness that gardening brings, she says. It teaches you things without you really noticing. You learn to pay attention to small changes when something isn't quite right or isn't growing as expected. It encourages you to stop, look more closely, and respond rather than rush in. After several years of reshaping the plot, Amy is now thinking long term. Over the past couple of years, I've put a lot of work into the garden, adding a new, larger greenhouse and creating a seating area within the patch, she says. Now I'm thinking more about longevity and how the garden develops over time. I'd like to introduce more fruit, particularly trees that can be trained along a frame as espalier, she explains. I've started adding a few already, including some in pots, but it's something I'd like to build on. She is also drawn to perennial crops. Asparagus is high on the list, even though it takes time to establish, she says. It feels like a good investment in the future of the garden. Beyond the soil, storytelling is calling. I'm exploring how gardening fits into a bigger part in my life, she says. I'd love to do more writing around it and to see where sharing it more widely might lead. It's already opened up opportunities and connections I never expected. When pressed for a favourite time of year, she smiles. Spring is the instinctive answer. All the seed sowing and that feeling of the garden coming back to life. But it's also one of the busiest times. I really love early summer, she says, when everything starts to come together. The seedlings you've cared for through spring are planted out. The garden fills up and it begins to feel abundant, almost like a little jungle. That's the point where I feel most proud, she adds. For a moment, I can step back, sit down and take it all in. It never lasts long before I spot something that needs doing. But those moments when you can pause and enjoy it are hard to beat. Amy's five easy wins for a Norfolk cottage veg patch. 1. Grow what you actually eat. Start with the contents of your salad drawer. Think lettuce, spinach, rocket, cucumbers and tomatoes. So nothing goes to waste and every harvest feels useful. 2. Work with what you've got. Don't panic about poor soil or awkward corners. Lay raised beds straight onto gravel or tired lawns and use existing sheds, fences and walls for structure and support. 3. Mix flowers in with veg. Thread in marigolds, nasturtiums and herbs. They draw in pollinators, help distract pests and make the plot feel joyful rather than purely practical. 4. Add one surprise crop each year. Try something a bit unexpected, a quirky squash, a colourful cane or even loofahs to keep things fun and stretch your skills gently. 5. Let routine do the work. A quick daily loop, open the greenhouse, water, check leaves, shut up dusk, keeps problems small and turns the garden into a calm, grounding habit.